Mean O-Line Media presents the Business First Podcast.
Hi, all, and welcome to a new episode of Business First with Sonia Aline. I am your host, and today we're going to talk about what it could look like to grow your company with the right employees. We all know that finding talent and holding talent is a major problem for major corporations, but it's also a problem and a challenge for small businesses. Before I introduce the guest, I just wanted to share some statistics with you. 99.9% of American businesses are small businesses. Many of you probably already know that. But almost half of U.S. employees, 46.8%, work for small businesses. Yet, and there's a big yet, 81% of small businesses have no employees. And that's what we want to talk about today. Yet those businesses still employ roughly 67% of all Americans, working Americans. And so in the studio today with us is an HR expert. In fact, her mantra is more humans, more resources. And we're going to talk about what that means today. Please welcome Vicki Brown of eDomineo Inc. Did I get that right, Vicki?
You absolutely did. Good job. Yay. Most people don't.
Thank you and welcome. And thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And before we get into some of the brass tacks and your recommendations for what small businesses should consider when they're hiring talent, I wanted to get into a little bit of your background. I had listened to another podcast that you were on, and there were some interesting comments that you made. One of which is that you had challenges, if I understood correctly, being number one. And so when it was recommended that you start your own business, that took a little bit for you to settle into the idea of, yes, I could, although you were doing a stellar work for everyone else, it took you a little bit to settle into the idea that you could run your own business. And so I want you to talk to us a little bit about that, because that's something that many of us, I know I struggle with sometimes. And so it spoke to me.
Well, you're absolutely right. That is the eDomineo origin story, actually. So, if you want to peek at the end of the book first, the lesson that I learned from that really was other people can see things in you that you never see in yourself. Mm. You have no idea you have that ability, because it's just you. Or maybe you have some doubts about your ability. And I was fortunate enough, I've had great mentors throughout my career, but I was fortunate enough, I was the head of HR at a technology and financial services company. And we kind of got caught in the 2000 technology boom or bust, yeah. I should say. And so when that company closed, the president of the company said to me, "You really should think about having an HR company. It's, you do it in a way that is very economical and really value packed." And I was like, "I love that. Thank you so much. Absolutely not. Going to go out, get a job. It's been nice working with you. And I appreciate the sentiment." And he said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because my foray really has always been, as you said, to be number two. I'm the chief HR officer. I sit in on the shoulder of the CEO. And I'm their confidant. I'm the one person in the organization they can tell anything to, because they know they have absolute confidentiality. But I'm also the one that sits on their shoulder and says, "Did you think about this? Did you think about that? That person seems to be reacting strangely. Maybe you should go talk to them." And all of those things. So that's a role that I love, and a role that I've had for the vast majority of my career. So when he said, "You should run a company," I was like, "No, absolutely not. I should be number two to somebody running a company, but that's it." And so he just nodded his head and said, okay, that's fine. And then a few months later, he took on a role as CEO of a new startup. And he called and said, I know you've taught me enough to be dangerous. I know there's some HR something I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to do it. So can you do it for me? And I said, sure. And he's like, well, I can't afford you, so you'll have to be an independent contractor, and I'll just engage you for this project and that project. And he just kept adding projects. And one day I finally, my compliance gene kicked in and I was like, well, you know, I have access to a lot of confidential information of your now employee base. And I'm doing things on your behalf. So everybody needs a corporate veil and everybody needs business insurance and everybody needs protection. So I incorporated, and that was his grand plan all along. And he was client number one.
How amazing is that? That is incredible. So one of the things that he had said to you was that you did things very uniquely, or he had never worked with anyone who had done things the way you did. And so what was it about how you operated in this human resources capacity that that seemed different to him? Or, or what is it that you feel that you do differently than most?
Right. Well, I'm fancy pants. So that's really what it is. I was at that time, this is back, and I'm going to date myself here, but this is back when, you know, people use floppy disks and things like that. So it's a while ago. There's no such thing as a flash drive. But I did think that this whole thing of putting together a new hire packet, all these documents and mailing it off to an employee and doing all that, you know, we were financial technology services. So we had to be special. And the internet certainly was not what it is today. So you didn't have the kind of thing where you could just log into an app and e-sign everything. And, you know, that wasn't a thing. So I was like, well, but I refuse to send this paper. So I would take everything and turn it into a PDF and put it on a drive and then mail the drive to the employees so they'd get the drive. So their first impression of the company, and that's really what I was about. Honestly, probably 25% of the time they would have to call and say, ooh, can you maybe email those to me? Because I couldn't open it. My computer couldn't open it or something. But their first impression of that organization was they got something completely different. They got this disc. It was, you know, it had the logo on it, all of those things. Okay. My thing is, first impressions are, they're not everything, but they're tremendously important. And it's very difficult to get over a bad first impression. So I wanted our company to be out there and to show that we were professional, we were organized, and had a little bit of flair.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about the meaning of the name of your company.
Idominea. Well, in my other life, I actually am an opera singer. So I was with the LA Opera Company for a number of years and with the LA Master Chorale for many, many, many seasons. And when I got ready to start the company, which I did not intend to do, I will remind everyone, I was invited to a conference and a luncheon, actually. And they to sign up, they wanted the company name. I had no company name. I had a score on my coffee table that I'd been working on. It had a really great aria in it. And I was like, I love Greek mythology. Okay, Idomeneo it is. And that literally is how I chose the name of the company.
Oh, I love it.
Well, it drives all the marketing people insane because they're like, it's difficult to spell, it's difficult to say, you should change the name of the company. And I just look at them and smile and say Adidas and keep going.
Exactly. And it has been working for you. The name has not stopped you from getting clients, I'm sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. So I want to go to now the challenges that small businesses have with staffing their business. Just last week, it's interesting, just as I had gotten your name as someone to interview you, I was talking with a friend of mine who was frustrated about how she felt that she wasn't able to grow. She runs a PR firm, wasn't able to grow it in terms of hiring talent. But she had looked at some of her associates that she had started businesses with, and she noticed that they had. And so she had hired a coach, and the coach had told her to just, you know, go out on a ledge and just go ahead and do it and take a loan. Right? So that you can pay the person. And none of that felt comfortable for her. Mm-hmm. And she still runs a very successful business. But she is really frustrated about figuring out how to be able to bring on more talent. And I would imagine that that's an ongoing challenge for many small businesses. First of all, if you can identify, what is it that holds some people? What is it about some people that they can grow and hire more talent? And then for others, even as they're growing, this idea of bringing on talent just doesn't seem feasible for them.
I love the way you position that question, because you really said, what is it about the individual, about the CEO, about the business owner? And for better or for worse, the buck always circles back and stops with us. You know, it's not about the market is difficult, or I can't find great candidates, or I mean, all of those things certainly may flavor the situation. But the crux of it really is what we do. And so, first of all, and I hate to go all third eye on everyone, but, you know, it's mindset. I mean, you really need to be prepared mentally to let go. Entrepreneurs are such executioners. We will get it done. We will execute on whatever we've set out to do, sometimes to the detriment of our own health, but we will get, you know, we will get it done. We have to learn to be comfortable with, you know, we talk about delegating all the time, but we have to be comfortable with opening our hands and giving up some of that control. It is a lifelong lesson for entrepreneurs. I'm going through it right this minute. I've got a team of 15, and we just did a little reorg. I promoted someone, and she is now the director of a division of mine that everyone has reported to me in the past. And so now she runs it, as of yesterday, actually. And I realized when I went home, even though we've been planning this for a year, that I had a couple of, you know, leftover feelings around letting go of having that direct reporting structure to those five people who now report to her. So my point is, it's something, you know, and I'm 22 years in this company. So it's something that it always comes up and you always have to think about it. So when you are starting out, or when you're deciding you're going to grow a team, the most important thing is to figure out what you need these people to do. So I hate to go all HR on everyone, but a job description is important. Figure out what are the most important tasks that you need to get done, and then figure out what kind of skill set you want for those tasks. And while all sorts of other things will be a nice to have, sure, I want someone for my media department who's, you know, been the head of programming for NBC, and sure, I want, you know, a journalist from the New York Times to write all of my copy. Sure, I want all of that. But what do I actually need? And then what can I afford? And at the risk of flying in the face of the coach, I'm not a huge fan of getting a loan. What I will say is, very, very often we hold back on bringing someone in because we say we can't afford it. And the reality is, this is not just another expense line to your budget. This is a value add. So you have to think about bringing someone on as an investment. And if that investment doesn't pan out, because everything isn't perfect all the time, if that investment doesn't pan out, then you have to move on and do something else. So you have to put on your leadership cloak, because you're going to be called on now to exhibit some leadership skills and some management skills that you don't really have to do when it's just you doing everything.
Right. Right. I like that you said, and I can appreciate that you said that, you know, they have to be able to write down these job descriptions, because as entrepreneurs, you can keep everything up in your head. And it's another reason why people don't understand maybe what needs to get executed or what needs to get done, or they're not executing at your level, because they don't really know what it is, because you haven't really let them know what it is. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And I have to say, I just live and die by SOPs. It is so important. You're talking about getting things out of your head. We do it. It becomes second nature to us. And by the way, sometimes we miss a step or two because we're busy with other things. But it's important to write these things down. And there are ways you can do it that make it a little less onerous for you. But if you don't have a process, if you don't have a checklist, if you don't have a standard operating procedure, it makes it so much more challenging to train someone else on taking on that task and executing on it in the way you want it executed on. And it also hurts consistency, because consistency is everything for the brand.
Right. You know? You're so, so right. I'd like to ask the difference between, so I came from a family run business. I used to work at Black Enterprise, and Mr. Graves had three sons who had three very specific areas that they were required to execute on, and they were able to execute. I've also seen other companies where, you know, it's the wife or the children are involved, and the execution is not, it just doesn't happen. And so how do you manage, or if when you're dealing with a client who wants to keep their family members on board, what are the challenges, or what should people who'd like to keep their family members on board be considering?
Yeah, well, I come from entertainment and entertainment background. So even though it might not be family members, there are very often VIPs that you want to keep on the payroll that may not be right for the particular role that they're in. And so when I do consulting, I say, let's let people play to their strengths. What are they really, let's set them up to succeed. What are they really good at? If you need a CFO role and you have a nephew who, you know, has done a little bookkeeping and, but has never taken on a CFO role, and you don't want to make that person a bookkeeper in your organization under the CFO, then let's figure out what else they might be good at, where they might excel, because the business needs a CFO. And you can't compromise what the business needs, because the business is the thing that, honestly, that's why we all eat, because the business is growing and being successful and thriving. So you have to keep the business in mind, because as a leader, you're responsible for every single employee that works for that company and, you know, tangentially, for their families and all of that. So it's a big responsibility. That's why it's important that you make sure that the business is healthy. And so, yes, there is some massaging that sometimes needs to happen to get some, or if they don't have the skills and they are a VIP, how can we get them the skills in a way that does not, you know, damage their sense of self, but also allows them to grow in a way where they can add that level of value to the organization. Maybe they need to mentor under someone, or internship, call it whatever you need to call it, but they need more experience under a more experienced person. So it's imperative that you get that to happen. If you don't, it's a bad road, because you'll have someone who's not qualified in the CFO role. You either will push them because you need what you need, and that'll be frustrating for them, or you won't push them and you won't get what you need for the business, and you won't be able to make the kind of financial decisions you need to make, or you'll backfill and end up, you know, spending a ton of money on an accountant that also handles CFO roles. And it just becomes everybody's at cross purposes. So it really is, you know, I understand the importance of keeping those relationships solid. I will say I'm not a huge fan of, hiring family members unless they actually, you know, in a word, bring the chops that you need to the organization, because it can be very complicated. And those relationships are more important than any business relationship. So it can be complicated when you have to lead them or manage them in a particular way. So it can definitely get complicated.
If someone were to hire you or to hire your services, what are the slate of offerings?
Sure. Well, what I did, so I'm a generalist. I'm, you know, a master of all, jack of all trades, master of many of them. But I formed the company basically in my image, because I could. So my business partners, my HR business partners, and that's what we call our HR managers, they are generalists as well. So we do everything A to Z that's related to HR for our clients. We have modularized that, though, just to make it easier to kind of understand what we do. So we have regulatory compliance, which is pretty much the big kahuna of HR. It's the backbone. It's the policies and the, you know, new law came out. Let's figure out how to implement this or whether or not it impacts your organization, et cetera, et cetera. All of the tracking, record tracking, time off tracking, all of that falls under regulatory compliance, managing leaves and managing workers' comp and really all of those items. And then we have benefits administration, which is pretty much what it sounds like, everything having to do with benefits. And we have payroll administration, which is pretty much everything that it sounds like, everything having to do with payroll. So basically what I tell people is we have benefits admin, payroll admin, and then everything else is regulatory compliance. So that's the way it is. And then we look at what services the client wishes to engage us for. And then depending on, you know, they do one or two or three, and we package the services and do things like that. But our goal really is to be your HR department. We just don't sit in your offices. And these days, very few people do. So that makes it easier to explain. So A to Z, everything having to do with human resources, we take on.
Yeah. So, and what is some of the feedback for someone who had been doing it all on their own and then brought you in to set things up? And I mean, even when you were talking about compliances, I'm sure there are a lot of things that an individual entrepreneur would just miss because it just wouldn't be their focus. And so how much of a difference do you see from the client after you've come in to work with them?
Well, my favorite feedback from a client, we were going through a rebrand at one point, and so I hired a marketing company, and the first thing they did was, you know, kind of canvass the clients and have an anonymous feedback thing. And my favorite comment from a client was, I feel like I'm patting myself on the back here, but my favorite comment, it really is the team, it wasn't me, but my favorite comment was, they do HR so well, but the thing that's important to me is that they counsel me and they have made me a better leader for my organization. And I love that. I mean, we can absolutely handle the administrivia for you. That's what we do. We roll around in that all day. We're HR geeks, you know. But to be able to offer consulting to a leader, maybe even a new leader, and grow them in their, you know, leadership journey, that is the thing that we love. We love that. And then to be able to handle some of the low-hanging fruit. You know, again, a favorite story is we started with a client and in the first week, we saved him $80,000. Now, it was a really easy save because he was running his own payroll and kind of never got around to deducting benefits, premiums from the employees. So we found 80 grand right away and started, you know, we didn't take that from the employees, but over the rest of that year, all of a sudden he had all of this additional money coming into his account. And he was like, I'm so glad I hired you guys. So it's just some of those compliance things that, you know, we look for that. We're payroll experts. So we're going to see that kind of stuff.
I just wanted to comment on the leadership piece because human resources is, you know, it goes back to your mantra about more human and more resources. Sometimes I think when we think about, and I'm thinking back to my corporate days, you don't think about the human pieces of human resources, right? You just think of human resources as the folks there to just make sure that payroll and benefits and all of these things happen. But to keep your employees engaged, aside from those things, they have to feel good about the environment that they're working in as well. And so the leadership training, I'm sure, is a really important piece of your business.
It is. And it's when we talk about leadership training, we're not just talking about at the top of the organization. And yes, I love, you know, I'm the number two. So we love chatting with the CEO and I love, we get to do that every day now. But managers, when you're bringing on a team lead or you're organizing, you know, you have enough folks and you need someone to manage a couple of the people there, managing is a different muscle set than doing the job. So if you're great at producing the widgets, that's fantastic. But usually you're so good at producing the widgets, you get promoted to managing the widget department. Well, managing people means that you're motivating other people to do the job. And motivation is a different skill set. So we love working with new managers and going through, you know, taking them through training and consulting with them because they're growing a whole new, again, set of muscles. They're creating a whole new tool belt. And the manager is the person that kind of is the company to that employee, because mm-hmm. that's who they interact with all the time. That's who they request approvals from and ask about company policies. And yes, they can come to HR and we love them to do that. But the first person mm-hmm. they're probably going to talk to is their manager. So if their manager doesn't know how to really manage that relationship, then the employee can become disillusioned very quickly.
Okay. Yeah. What are your plans for continuing to grow your business? I mean, I think it's great that you are also able now to do promotions, because when I think of small businesses hiring additional staff, I didn't even think about the promotion aspect, because if someone is there working hard and doing great work, they'd like to see the opportunity for advancement. And so I think what usually happens in a conversation for small, at least the ones I've been involved with for small businesses, we always feel like, okay, this is a great training ground. And then you can leave and go work for either a bigger company or start your own company. But to be able to promote somebody who's been working hard and a proven, someone who's results oriented, to be able to promote them is actually really something I'd like you to talk a little further about there too for small businesses.
Well, first of all, I have to say it is a great feeling. It yeah. feels really good to be able to reward someone's hard work. But the mm-hmm. other thing is, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier around, you know, yes, we all need to put our pennies together so we can make sure we can even hire the person. Yeah. But the reality is that person needs to be a value add. They are an investment. So you should be getting a return on your investment. And if they are not either bringing in more revenue or freeing you up so you can bring in more revenue, or, you know, adding value in some way to the organization, then inside of 90 days, inside of 3 months, you really need to start thinking about, is this the right person? Because honestly, they should be in some way, shape, or form reimbursing you for the cost of their employment inside of, you know, 3 to 5 months. If that's not happening, then yes, it is just an expense. And either you don't have them working on the right things, or you're not really plumbing their skill set and their experience. Something is out of sync and you need to take a look at that. But once you're able to do that, then you can grow the business, and then you will find that you have a need possibly for more structure. The reason you, it's interesting because you asked how, or what are my plans about going forward with the business? And part of the reason that we were able to kind of get the client relations group reporting into someone else is because I just don't have the bandwidth for that anymore. Right. My job has morphed, you know, as the CEO has morphed a bit. We have a huge division that, or a huge initiative, I should say, of opening up another division, the Leader's mm-hmm. Journey Experience, which is now our education arm. So wow. we are, you know, we've created some online classes, an online university. And so all of that and all of the marketing around that takes a considerable amount of time. Right now I am mm-hmm. chief bottle washer. I'm writing the classes and recording the classes and all of that. And eventually I'll be able to roll that off. But right now it takes my specific attention. So, you know, the core business certainly needs to be managed. And so it gave me the opportunity and the need to have someone step into that role. So I kind of answered both of those questions. That's yeah. our goal for going forward, because again, we love the consulting, we love growing leaders. And so as we were looking at that, we were like, how can we really step more fully into that role?
Yeah, that's exciting. So tell folks how they can find you and connect with you, and how soon the curriculum will be available. I know they can find your podcast on your website, mm-hmm. But please let us know all the places that we can find you and follow you.
Absolutely. Well, it's all around Leader's Journey Experience. So we have a YouTube channel, which is at Leader's Journey TV. We have the podcast, which is More Human, More Resources. The university is already up and running, so all of that is happening. But I do, probably the easiest way for folks to get in touch, we do have a little gift for your audience, because we really are so grateful to be invited to speak today. So and they can reach that, and I'll, you know, provide the link to you as well, but they can, receive their gift at morehumanmoreresources.info bit.ly/podcastgift.
Oh, how generous. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Vicki, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And it'd be great for us to bring you back and see if there was a recipient of that gift to talk about that experience. I'd love for us to do that as well.
I would love that. And Sonia, thank you so much. This has been really a treat.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Thank you, Vicki. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week with another great guest. Take care.
The Business First podcast is hosted and produced by Sonia Aline. Executive producer Ken Johnson. Find the Business First podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast. On social media, on IG, at business_first_podcast. Follow the Mean Old Line Media Podcast Network on IG at Mean Old Line Media. Get the Mean Old Line Media app in the App Store or Google Play. The Business First Podcast is a Mean Old Line Media production.